Well, we're going to have kind of a lot of scripture today. It's going to be very heavy on scripture. All right, so not all the scripture will be on the screen, but I'm going to put the main text on the screen for you. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2 today. So if you hear something I say from a scripture, you might want to jot down the reference if you are interested in checking that out further. Okay, so I'm just giving you a forewarning there. And when we talk about relationships in general, that always reminds me of what I heard from one of our speakers in my younger days when I served at a missions organization called YWAM. I was in Youth with a Mission, if you've ever heard of that, for a couple of years. Mission trips for young people, young adults, college students. It was amazing. So they would bring in teachers and trainers to get us discipled and ready to go on the mission field. Yeah, it was exciting. And I've never forgotten what one of the teachers said on our week on relationships. They taught us about relationships. And here's what he said. He said, every problem in the world is a problem with relationships. And that's how he said it. And it's just stuck in my brain like that. Every problem in the world is a problem with relationships. All right? So let me say it again, and then you complete the sentence. All right? Every problem in the world is a problem with relationships. Yeah. Yeah, his name is Dean Sherman, one of my favorite teachers. And do you believe that? Do you think every problem in the world is a problem with relationships? That always intrigued me, and it just stuck with me. I'm not only talking about romantic relationships. I'm talking about all relationships. Okay? I mean relationships with family, relationships with parents and with bosses and with neighbors, right? And just society in general. And yes, romantic relationships. And I want to tell you that the Bible has a lot to say about relationships with others. In fact, almost 100% of the time, when someone needs help or they need advice or they're dealing with a problem, it's usually connected to how we relate to other people. Right? That's called a relationship. And that's kind of a profound thought. If you start thinking about that, might cause you to this morning to ask yourself, do I have a problem in my relationships? And the answer is probably. You probably do. Because every problem in the world is a problem with relationships. And I'm going to tell you the Bible is all about relationships. That really is what it's about. And if that's the case, the Bible is all about relationships, I would think there's a lot to be said about relationships, far more than I can cover in the next 2 weeks. But I would think there's a lot to be said, and I would think that if you wanted to learn about relationships, you might want to read something that's all about relationships, right? Wouldn't you want to do that? Just to prove it, because the subject is so enormous in the Bible. The whole Bible is about relationships. And every problem in the world is a problem with relationships. Just to prove it, I want to sample the Bible. So we're going to sample the Bible this morning. Now, this goes against all the preaching stuff that I ever learned. You're not supposed to just, you know, shoot verses out there without digging into them. But we're going to do that this morning. We're going to break the rules. And I'm going to sample some Bible verses. Let's start with Ephesians 5:25, okay? These are the ones that are not going to be up there. So you just got to listen. Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. All right, well, we have one verse and we have two relationships already, right? We got the marriage relationship. And we got a relationship with a Savior. So one verse, two relationships. All right, let's do another one. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, children, obey your parents. in everything. You guys like that one? You guys like that one? Okay. All right. For this pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord when children obey their parents. Okay, we got another verse, and we have, well, at least three relationships there, right? Goes on to say, fathers, don't embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. All right, so we're talking about the parent-child relationship. We got a relationship between a child and the Lord, and a relationship between child and parent. And we got a relationship between parent and the Lord. There's all kinds of relationships in the Bible. All right, let's do another one. John 15, verse 13. You probably know this one. This is a good one. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's right. Now, that's a whole bunch of relationships. Right? We all have friends. I love the Bible. I love God's Word. You know, I have learned how to be a father from the Word of God. I've also learned how to be a husband from the Word of God. And I've also learned how to be a son from the Word of God. And I've learned how to be a son to earthly parents. And I've learned how to be a son to my Heavenly Father from God's Word. And I've also learned how to do those things from other people who follow God's Word. Right? So there's lots of relationships. Let's talk about Matthew 10. It says this, Matthew 10, verse 24 says, the student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. Okay, hello, more relationships. Lots of relationships. This is talking about the student-teacher kind of mentoring relationships. See, God cares about these things enough to talk all about them in His Word. I like this one, Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 17, it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no benefit to you. All right, there's a lot of relationships here, right? We're talking about employer-employee relationships. We're talking about relationships with our religious leaders, our pastors, right? We're talking about relationships with government officials, with city officials, with all other authority. See what I mean? The Bible is full of relationships. You see Walmart HQ going up over there? Anybody been on J Street lately? Stuck in some traffic over there, right? 350 acres. It is amazing what they're doing. How is all of that amazing work being accomplished? Well, there's a lot of hard work going on. But probably more importantly, lots of relationships going on. If you think about it, right? There's designers to work with, right? How many ever worked with a designer? Whew, a lot of opinions for those guys, but they're awesome. They're creative. I love designers. All right. Architects, land developers, these are all people. There's trucks coming and going, right? Clogging up 14th Street over here. Between that and people pulling into Sonic, I can't believe I'm still alive. It is ridiculous. All right. There's building materials that have to be brought in. There's equipment, right? All kinds of road closures, right? It takes everybody in relationship to make this stuff work. There's contractors and subcontractors. I used to be a tile setter. Well, I still kind of am now and then. Sometimes you don't get along with the contractor and the subcontractor and who's here. Anyone else built a house lately? You know what I'm talking about. There's all kinds of relationships, right? There's groundbreaking that had to happen out there. Underground work, utilities, concrete. I'm not an expert in any of this. I know they're putting bike trails through there. It is going to be amazing. There's 12 office buildings going up. I can guarantee you that there are conflicts going on at one level or another in all of that, okay? Yeah. Yeah. We've got some contractors here who know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you this, since the front of the property has been torn up and they're putting a parking lot in, I have got more calls at the church from people I don't know than ever before. And they're not interested in what we're doing. They don't want to know about the church. They want to know what's going on out front. It's crazy. I say, well, they're building a parking lot, but you can come to church if you want to. Thanks, I just want to know what's going on. And it's crazy. It's crazy. All right, it's an enormous investment in time and resources, but it's also an enormous investment in relationships. Okay, let's do a couple more. Acts chapter 2. Acts tells us that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to eating together and praying together. All right? Acts 2:46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. This is about relationships with believers. Right? All right, let's just do one more. Just one more. Matthew chapter 7. Listen to this verse, verse 12. It says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. Everything the law said in the Old Testament, all of what Moses said, everything the prophets ever prophesied, this sums it all up. Right? Relationships with everyone. What sums up everything that was ever said is the way we treat other people. Can you believe that? I'd say this is a pretty important subject. God wants us to relate well to other people. You have very important things to do today. Get out there and relate well. This is important, okay? And that's why it's a true statement to say that every problem in the world is a problem with relationships, because that's what we do, huh? We be jumping in and out of relationships. That's what we do. If relationships are that important to our God, then I better learn the way to have a good relationship. Amen? Pretty simple, huh? I better learn how to have a good relationship, and that's why this series is called Relationships God's Way. We got to figure it out. So here's how we're going to start. We're going to start by talking about the very first relationship. Is that okay? Very first relationship. I love this one. The original relationship that we find here on earth in Genesis, in the beginning. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to start there, verses 4 and 7. I think I have these ones. It says this, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. Men, listen up. You were first. All right? And he breathed. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Well, in the account of creation, we see that God creates mankind. And you can see this in chapter 1. Chapter 1 actually gives us an overview of all of creation, but here we are in chapter 2, we sink into the details in chapter 2. So what we're talking about is taking place in chapter 1. We're just learning about it in chapter 2. All right? Now, we studied this in our Wednesday night Bible study last Wednesday, right out here. And you guys are welcome to come to the next one. In fact, if you want to come, we're going to be studying Job chapter 1, 2, and 3 this time. So you can read that before you get there. But we studied this in our Wednesday Bible study, and somewhat from our Bible study, not me, someone else who studied this in their own time, brought up the fact that the word breath can be translated as spirit. And that is true. I had to check that out. It was so incredible. I went and checked it out on my own. And yes, that is a matter of fact. It does mean spirit. In other words, the man was formed from dust. Okay? And he had all the stuff he needed. All right? Someone once asked, did Adam have a belly button? I don't know. I can't answer that question. We could debate that. I don't know, but I think he had a head, and he had a brain. He had hair and eyeballs and ears and, you know, pectoral muscles. I don't really have a lot of that going on, but he had that. He had some biceps. Come on. Titus, let's see. Titus got some biceps. Yeah. He had those. He had a rib cage. He had a heart. He had a whole respiratory system, right? Maybe a six-pack, something like that. I don't know. I think he was probably a good-looking guy. He had all his fingers and toes, and, well, he had everything he needed, all the parts, okay? He was complete, but he wasn't what? He wasn't alive. He wasn't alive. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a body. We have a body in Genesis. And so God took the body of the man and he laid him down and he performed CPR. Got the man's heart pumping and he came alive. Is that what happened? No, that's not what happened. What made him alive? The breath of life. The spirit was given to him, and that brought the man alive. Wow. So God actually imparted life to man by way of the spirit. You see that? He gave life as a gift. Before that, it was just a body. But he gave life. And so the man, all at once, he began to see. His eyes became open and he began to feel. And he began to have, you know, sensations all over his body and blood pumping through his veins and the cool breeze against his face. And he began to feel, you know, the breath in his lungs. Let me ask you something. Who are you? Who are you? Are you a bag of flesh? Are you a network of biological and chemical reactions? Is that what you are? No. You are something else. You are a spiritual being. That's what you are. That's what makes you alive. You see that? That's what God did. Well, you say, well, what does it matter then? What I do with my body? Who cares? Well, it completely matters because your body is connected with your spirit. So let me ask you another question. Can a spirit live without a body? What do you think? Can a spirit live without a body? Yes, it can. I hope so, because we're supposed to be in heaven and all this stuff, right? Can a spirit live without a body? Yeah, it can. Can a body live without a spirit? It cannot. A body cannot live without a spirit. So who are you? You are a spiritual being. You're not a body. And I can tell you this, there's a whole lot of people who don't want to be treated like they're just a body. You know what I'm talking about, right? Do you want to be treated like a body? You don't, because there's something more to you than a body. There's something inside. There's a spirit. What we do affects us very deeply. And what we do in our relationships affects us very deeply. And the world is going to tell you something totally different than this. The world says, obey your thirst. All right, thank you, Sprite. Obey your thirst, which means do what you want, do whatever you feel. It's not going to hurt you, just do what you want. And when our body interacts with someone else's flesh, with their body, that's not all that's happening. You see what I'm saying? What's happening is that our spirit is interacting with someone else's spirit because we're a spiritual being. We're not just a body. Otherwise, we'd just be laying on the ground, dead. You get what I'm saying? What you do matters. Let's read from 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says this, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." Right? He's saying, this is just a tent. I live in it. "Because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me." Peter's talking about his death coming. And he's talking about putting this aside. All of this. It's going to be put aside one day. So don't let this thing that you have, right? Don't let it ruin your life. Who you are lives inside this thing. And so as the great teacher said, in my discipleship training, he said, you better find out who lives in that thing, right? Before you decide to bring that thing home with you, right? So someone else lives in that thing. That person you're with, the people in our relationships, they live inside that thing. Right? So you better find out who lives in that thing before you decide you want a relationship with them. Right? Don't take a body home. That's not going to work. You got to find out who lives in it. All right. With all that being said, don't you want to protect your spirit? Don't you want to protect it? Shouldn't you want to be guided by the Spirit? Shouldn't you want to guard your spirit? Proverbs tells us in chapter 4, Solomon says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." What's he talking about? He's talking about the inner man, the inner person, not the body. Okay? But amazing how that inner person makes your whole body healthy. All right? Now, the problem is we've learned our whole lives to be guided by the outer man, which is the carcass, right? Just this, the flesh. Right? When you want to eat something, you eat it. When you want to drink something, you drink it. When you want to fill in the blank, you fill in the blank. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, And after a while, he sent his disciples away and said, hey, go find some food. Get out of here. They went out. He finished talking to the woman at the well. They came back. They said, hey, Jesus, are you hungry? And Jesus said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What was he talking about? That there's more to life than the body. Way more than the body. There's something inside. Here's something I read this week in my devotions. And I always tell people my devotions always come out in my sermons. And I'm proving it to you right now. Okay? Here's something I read this week from my devotion. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do what you want. Okay, let me just reread that last line. You are not to do what you want. So I'm not supposed to always do what I want, right? I can do what I want, but I'm not supposed to do what I want all the time. So your flesh and your spirit, what is it telling us? There's a tug of war going on inside of us between the flesh and the spirit. See, it's two things. The spirit is longing to do good, and it's longing for God. And yet the flesh is longing to be gratified, and it's longing for itself. And the flesh and the spirit want opposite things. That really speaks to me. Let me tell you why. I can't even trust my own flesh and its desires. Right? This tells me that what I want is oftentimes a wrong or misleading desire. Because that's what the flesh wants. How can I even trust what I think I want? See what I'm saying? I've got to learn to walk by the Spirit. If life was given by the Spirit and the breath of life was breathed into the first man and it made him come alive, then I was meant to walk by the Spirit. You agree with that? All right, let's get back to Genesis. So, this spirit man opens his eyes. And the first thing he sees is his Creator. So we have it right there. The first relationship between man and God. The first relationship was between man and God. And here are three foundational things for living life the way it was designed to be lived. One, God's Word is about relationships. You must have an intimate relationship with God's Word. You have to. You've got to get in it. We talk on Wednesday nights about putting God first at some point in your week. You've got to put something second and put God first. Talk about surrender. Surrender something this week, right? That's what we all need to do. We're so busy. We don't need more. We need to surrender, right? Our stuff. So figure out what you're going to surrender this week and put God first. You need an intimate relationship with God's Word. Number two, you are a spiritual being. So everything you do affects your spirit. Don't act like it doesn't. That's why it hurts so much when you break up and do all this stuff. Relationships hurt because it's not just about flesh. It's about spiritual things. All right, number three, your number one relationship in your life was designed to be with God. All right, why am I saying all this today? It's just an introductory day. But I'm trying to set you all on the right path for good relationships. That's what this is about. Let me ask you something, another question. Is God your number one relationship? Well, none of us are perfect. But you probably know that answer. When we talk about reading the Bible, we talk about putting God first. Well, Pastor, you might say that's great. Can't my wife be my number one? Can my spouse be my number one? Well, I'm sure she absolutely is your number one today. And you're like, what Super Bowl? You know what I'm saying. I'm just joking around. And I would say, that's actually a great idea to put your wife as your number one. I like that idea. Except there's a problem, right? Adam's wife is not in the picture yet. She hasn't been made yet. She came later. She was added to the equation later. And so I say again, the first relationship we were designed to have is with the Father in heaven. To me, that's like, wow, this is so important. I have absolutely got to intentionally get with God because He is my number one relationship, and that's how I was created and designed to be. And if I don't spend any time with God this week, I'm not spending time with the number one relationship I'm supposed to have. That blows my mind. Let's read on. Genesis verse 8. It says, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden. And there He put the man He had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Wow. Well, we've got this paradise with God that He made. And there's, if you read about it, there's all these rivers running through it, and it splits off into four other rivers. And there's gold and precious stones all over the place. And there's exotic animals and all sorts of trees that are bearing fruit. And then there's these two trees right in the middle. Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to work and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die.'" Now, a lot of people think, why is God withholding something from Adam? What's the deal with that? Well, He's actually not withholding anything. As a matter of fact, Adam gets to eat from the tree of life. That's pretty cool. So I was created, and then you made a tree for me to eat to live forever. Okay, I'll take it. That's a pretty sweet deal right there. God just says, don't eat from that one. What's He saying? He's saying, trust me. Just trust me. Don't eat from that other tree. All right? It's not like God put a fence around the tree. He didn't do that, right? There was nothing in the way of the tree. But we like to climb up the wrong tree sometimes, don't we? We like to do that. And if there was a fence there, some of us probably would have climbed right over it anyway. That's what we like to do. So, in our first relationship, we figure out that even in our number one relationship with God, we have a choice. We all have a choice. That is the choice of obedience or disobedience. That is a choice God gave to us. We get to choose. It is absolutely and has always been our choice as to whether or not we will listen to the Lord. And it seems to me that God actually trusted Adam to make the right choice. And Adam simply needed to trust God. We find that this first relationship, then, is built on trust. And so is what every relationship is built on. And we are all staring at the same two trees as we approach any new relationship in your life. We have the choice. Do we want to partake of the things that give life to our relationships? Or do we want to partake of the things that lead to death in our relationships? And there are lots of things in our lives, in our relationships, that God never wanted us to have. One being the death of them. He never wanted that. He made us to live forever. But we sometimes choose dead relationships. Don't we? We choose it. Because we just had to know. We had to know. We had to know what it was like. We had to know how it would be with that person. We choose those things. And remember, the tree wasn't put there just to have us live forever. It's there to help us live in relationship forever, all right? So God created us as a spiritual being to have a relationship with Him above all, and He gave us a choice as to whether or not we want to keep it. Amen to that? Now, about that woman, that you have to come back for next week. I don't have enough time to keep going today. So, I want to remind you as we close today that God gave you life as a gift. But remember, He also gave His life for you. And why did He do that? He did that to restore your relationship with Him. The number one relationship. It was so important to God that He said, I have to keep this intact. And so He gave His life for us. We have to trust Him. Amen? We have to put our faith in Him. And talk about a Creator that loves you so much, and He's willing to work with you through all your problems with relationships. That is our God. He loves us. Let's pray. God, thank You so much. I think of the worship song we sang today. We are Your people. You are our God. You long, God, to have relationship with us. It's not some obligation or some control thing. You literally want to have a good relationship with us. And You have gone out of Your way to make that happen, even giving Your life on the cross for us. And we so appreciate that. God, as we get through these next couple weeks, Lord, help us to learn how to relate to others according to Your word, and let it sink in to our hearts this week. We love You. We know You're with us. Protect us this week and guide us as we walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.